We're going to see the same theme tomorrow's in the Sunday Gospel. But sometimes those who are chosen to help facilitate relationships with the Lord are the ones who cause the most interference. As the disciples were rebuking these families, trying to prevent them from encountering Jesus. We know sadly that happens even today. Bishops, priests, for a variety of reasons and a variety of ways, prevent this encounter with the Lord. We also know parents who are the primary educators of their children, especially in the ways of the faith, how often they run interference from allowing their children to live and grow in the faith. And so we hear these words as an encouragement to open those pathways and to not be blocks, to allow those who want to be near, who need to be near, to give them the opportunity to be near. We know also that there are oftentimes places within our hearts, our past, our memories, that we keep from the Lord. For a variety of reasons, we don't think that those parts of our lives are worthy of God. And so sometimes we run interference against ourselves, preventing that healing hand of Jesus to touch. And so we pray for the grace to be open to that, to completely surrender ourselves to the Lord in all aspects, the good, the bad, the not yet redeemed. And this is what Joshua is encouraging the people in the first reading. Serve the Lord. Decide today who you will serve. We're so distracted, there's so many opportunities to serve other gods in our lives, that this admonition from thousands and thousands of years ago, we need to hear again and again. And to be able to have the courage, the confidence, the honesty to say, for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whether it's your physical household, you and your family and your children and whatever, or you and your house, your body, your mind, your soul, everything, I will serve the Lord. You know, I grew up in central Alabama, you know, the Bible Belt. Frequently, people would have this verse posted somewhere in their house or on their doorpost as you walked into their house as a declaration that me and my house will serve the Lord. And maybe we don't have it physically posted. Maybe we could or should. But it should be posted in our heart that me and my house will serve the Lord. Joshua was encouraging them and also warning them about how easy it was going to be distracted, to begin to serve other gods. Because it's easier to serve the other gods. Those other gods are much more permissive in the area of morality, much more permissive in the realm of marriage, much more permissive in violence and retribution and greed and self-interest. Those same other gods that vie for our interest today were vying for the interests of the hearts of the chosen people. And this is just when they're getting to the promised land, and we know how the rest of the story goes, how time and time again, they were not faithful to the promise they made in the scriptures today. How often is it the same for us? That we're unfaithful to the promises that we make to Jesus. I firmly resolve, with the help of thy grace, to sin no more and to avoid the near occasion of sin. Every time we go to confession, we make that promise. Joshua did, I don't know if it was supposed to be a joke, I don't know, we don't know the scenario, but he put a stone there in the temple and said, the stone is hearing what you're saying. I might die, y'all are going to die, and y'all can change your mind, but the stone is faithful. The stone is stable. The stone is hearing what you're saying. Remember the promise that you're making. The church is our new stone. The church hears our promises. And so we come to the church to be reminded of the promises that we make. Decide today for whom you will serve. As we celebrate this saint, the 1600s in France, St. John Eudes, just after the Protestant Reformation in that part of France, the Calvinists and the Catholics were battling. But his family decided that we would serve the one true God in the Catholic Church. And from a young age, he was dedicated to the faith, was ordained, became a priest. He was one of the first ones to begin the devotion to the two hearts of Jesus and Mary. He's the one who wrote the Mass parts that would later become the Mass of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. He was inspired to start a foundation, a community for secular priests, for the diocesan clergy, because they didn't take promises of chastity, poverty, and obedience. And much like today, there were many priests living a loose life. And he saw the detrimental impact that had on the lives of the faithful. So he began to help to form priests so that priests could be faithful leaders to lead the people to Jesus and not prevent them as we had in the gospel today. He had some pretty, maybe harsh words on why we have bad priests. He basically said we get the priests that we deserve. But he has some beautiful words about the priesthood, about what these men who are called to the priest should be. In that responsorial psalm today, O Lord, you are my inheritance. That's oftentimes associated with priestly ordination. Because that's the reality, or should be the reality, for the priests. That's why we always need to pray for our priests, that they don't forget the promises that they have made. That they can not be hindrances, not be obstacles, but help to bring the children closer to Jesus. So I'd like to share a quote from St. John Eudes about a good priest. It's a little lengthy, so please bear with me. A good priest is an ever-burning and shining light set in the candelabra of Mother Church, burning before God and shining before men, burning in his own love for God, shining by his charity for his fellow man, burning with the perfection of his inner life, shining by the perfection of his exterior deportment, burning in fervent prayer for his people, shining by his preaching of the Word of God. The priest is a sun, bringing cheer to the world by his presence and bearing. He brings heavenly blessings into every heart. He dispels the ignorance and darkness of error and radiates on every side bright beams of celestial light. He extinguishes sin and gives life. He imparts new life to the weak, inflames the lukewarm, fires more ardently those who are aglow with the sacred flame of divine love. He is an angel purifying, illuminating, and perfecting the souls that God has entrusted to him. He is a seraph sent by God to teach men the science of salvation, which is concerned only with knowing and loving Almighty God and his Son, Jesus Christ. The priest is an archangel and a prince of the heavenly militia, waging constant war against the devil who strives to drag countless souls into the depths of hell. He is the real father of the children of God, with a heart filled with love which is truly paternal. That love urges him to work unceasingly to nourish his flock with the bread and the sacred word of the sacraments, to clothe the faithful with Christ and the Holy Ghost, to enrich them with celestial blessings, and to secure for them every possible assistance in the salvation of their souls. He is a captain in the mighty army of God, always ready to battle for the glory of God and the defense of Holy Mother Church. He is ever prepared to lay siege to the world, the flesh, and the devil. For him, the conquest of kingdoms means only the salvation of souls, for each soul is a kingdom more precious than all the empires of the world. St. John Eudes, pray for us.